Mark chapter 11. And I chose the song tonight, Near the Cross. Should I put it? I actually chose Near the Cross tonight because it is so important that we stay true to Jesus Christ, that we stay near the cross. It is so easy, just so easy, to get so caught up in everything going on and in all the circumstances, and all of a sudden we have lost sight of who Jesus Christ is, and we've got all of our focus on our problems. And you do not need to tell Jesus Christ how many problems you have. You don't need to tell him how big your problems are. You need to tell your problems how big Jesus Christ is. That's exactly right. He is big. There is nothing that he cannot do. And we're going to talk tonight about pretenders and posers and people who play the part, but their hearts are very, very far from God. And we're going to find out that that is not anything that God wants. That is not anything he loves. And keep near the cross. You know, there are so many things that are going to try and pull you away. So many things. So many good things. They're not even bad things. They can be the most wonderful things in the world. The only problem is when they get between you and Christ, all of a sudden they're an idol. What used to be a blessing in your life can become an idol. You know, we all have children and we love our children, and our children are a blessing from God. But when our children come before God, they're now an idol.
Amen.
You know, we all have wonderful careers and God has blessed us with wonderful jobs. But when our jobs come before Jesus Christ, they now become an idol.
Amen.
And they can be wonderful blessings from God. And when we take them and put them in the wrong place, we all of a sudden have turned a blessing into an idol. And we've gotten a step further away from the cross. And all of a sudden, we're posing. I like that word, poser. Yeah. All right, Sammy's the only one that laughed. I guess she and I are the youngest ones in the room, huh? That's the new word. Is it still new?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's the new word for people that pretend, for fakers. They call them posers.
Poser.
A poser.
Poser.
Meaning you're posing.
Imposter.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we are in Mark chapter 11, and we are starting with verse 12. Yes. Well, no, we're starting in verse 11. My apologies. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Okay. This verse tells us so much about Christ, and it also gives us such a tremendous picture of how we should be like Christ. You see, he went into the temple and they were doing the very same things they were doing the next day when he went back. But Jesus did not act rashly. He did not make a snap decision. He did not make a decision that was going to be so important in a matter of a few minutes. He left. I'm going to tell you, all of our lives would be a whole lot better if we would learn to make decisions the way Jesus makes decisions. I can't tell you how many decisions I've made in a matter of 10, 15 minutes that I ended up regretting because I didn't take time to listen to God, let him work in my life, let him work through me, and show me the right thing to do. And here's Jesus. He knows what they are doing is wrong. He goes in the temple and he goes, you know what? It's not the time. I'm going to leave. No different when he went back the next day. They weren't doing anything different. But here he is, and he had the Spirit of God. He said, I only do what my Father tells me. And God did not tell him it was time to do anything, so Jesus waited. Oh, if we could learn to wait. If we could learn to wait. One of the best things Harry and I did when we got married is we decided one thing we did not ever want to fight about was money. So, for the most part, we've stuck to that. We are very, very much in agreement with finances. But the one thing that we did do and we established is that if it was less than $50, go ahead. If it was less than $100, wait, come home and sleep on it. You'd be shocked at how many things you don't want the next day. You would be shocked at how many things, when you start listening to God and he starts laying it out before you, you would be shocked at how many things you do not want. If it's over $1,000, we wait a week. If it's a large purchase, we would wait at least 30 days. And I'm telling you, people would call us. Oh, when we every car. Oh, come in, come in, come in. I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars we save just by saying, no, we won't do that. And letting God direct what we did. But it is, you know, how many of you have said things? This is where I get my, all right, I'm confessing my sin. Me and my big mouth, okay? I do okay with the finances. But if I don't know how many of you think something needs to be said right away, you've got to say it, huh? Yeah, well, that's okay. Raise your hand. It makes me feel good. Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. It's so hard to just walk away and say, oh, God, give me the grace to keep my mouth shut, huh? Amen. Man, if it's got to be said, man, we got to say it. And we got to say it right away. But I want you to go to Isaiah for me. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to look at verse 18. I love this verse. It has become one of the verses that we live by, or I try to. But my daughter can tell you this verse, because we said it to her so many times, you know. When she was ready to get a car, I'll tell you this. I am the most uncool mother that there is. Okay? But to this day, she says, Mom, that was the wisdom of God. She said, okay, I know what I want. I said, oh, you do? And she said, yeah. I said, okay. Well, I have this little chart here that we're going to fill in all the blocks. And then once all these blocks are filled in, we're going to decide which car you're going to get. She was like, what? You don't just go, you know, you just go buy a car, and if it looks pretty, oh, it's got to be the one.
Oh, yeah.
So down the side, I had a place where she could list each car she test drove. And across the top, we had price. We had gas mileage. She had to call and see what the car insurance was going to be on it, what the warranty was, what the maintenance fees were going to be, how often she could get the maintenance done free before, you know, she had to start paying for it, and finally, if she had the car for 5 years, what the resale value was going to be. And I said, now you're going to fill in all those blocks. And when all those blocks are filled in, then we're going to sit down and we're going to make the best decision. She said, that's going to take so long. And I said, yeah. That's my point. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to take a long time because God tells us that when we wait, we're blessed. Did you know that? Look at Isaiah 30, 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. How about it? Blessed are all those who wait for him. Wait for God. Jesus did. And he had ultimate authority to go in and clean that temple on that night. And he walked in, he looked around, he said, "Oh, it's not the time. See you later." And he left. And yet we think every decision we make should be done in 10 minutes and then we pray and ask God to bless it after it's all made. Yeah. Wait. That's so important. If you're going to be like Jesus Christ, wait. Wait before you speak. Wait before you act. Wait before you move and see what God would have you to do. And it's amazing how many things you think you're going to do and it's not going to happen that way. It's amazing. So she didn't get the car she thought she was going to start out with. Let's put it that way. But God was very good in leading us to where he needed us to be. So we wait because Jesus waited. And when you wait, God promises you will be blessed. Okay, the next day though, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. We're back to Mark 11. I cannot. Okay. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. Now, this passage is often taught that he went to see if it had any fruit. Do you think he knew if it had any fruit or not?
Yes.
Of course he did. He was teaching a lesson here, a very, very important lesson. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. He said to this tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. The fig tree was a symbol of Israel. All through Scripture, the fig tree is a symbol of Israel. Jesus was telling his disciples, Israel looks beautiful. There's lots of leaves. It looks so wonderful from a distance, but it is corrupt and unfruitful up front. And he was saying, I don't like that. He cursed the tree. You know, there are a lot of people you're going to meet in your life, and when you meet them, if you're only around them a little time or you see them from a distance, they're going to look like they are so religious, aren't they? Oh, yeah. How many of you know someone like that? But when you get up close and personal, the fruit's not there. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, cursed. Yeah. You remember what he said in John 15? Let's go to John 15. That's exactly right. John 15, verse 1. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. This is now what he is teaching them the same week in John as we're talking about in Mark. It's the week before he's going to the cross. And listen what he tells him. Most important thing, you know. He says, I'm getting ready to die and you need to know some things before I go. And this is one of the things you need to know before I go. I'm the vine and you're the branches. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. You see, you can look like a Christian. You can walk like a Christian. You know, if it quacks like a duck, it doesn't always mean it's a duck in Scripture. Yeah. Yeah. You see, you can have all the religious sayings down. You can say, praise the Lord at the right times. And you can give a wonderful testimony. But you know what? It's your fruit. It is your fruit. And there are, Jesus talks many times about people that are posers, that are pretending to be Christians, but they do not have the fruit to back it up. And that's what was going on with the fig tree. They looked like they were going to be great, great, godly people. These Pharisees, my goodness, they knew the law. They knew everything there was to know about the law. And they wanted to make sure you did it. Don't look at me because I'm not going to do it. But I want to make sure you all do it. Oh, yes. And they would walk around and, oh, when the high priest was coming, my goodness. They looked so religious, and they would go in church, and they wanted to be noticed by everybody in church, and they wanted to sit up front where everybody could see them. And Jesus said, you stink like dogs. Yes. You see, on the inside, they did not have the love of God. They had no fruit. And he is saying, may no one ever eat from this tree again. What he did is he cursed it. But you're going to find out the next day, when they go home at night, the tree is still fine. What he did is he cursed it at the root. He cursed it from the inside out. You see, and when they get back there the next morning, now they're going to find out the tree truly has died. We'll get to that tomorrow. Or, no, next week.
We can get together tomorrow.
But you see, but do you understand what's happening here? He is saying, I know your heart.
Yes, yes.
I know your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And he wants to see your fruit. He wants to know that with all your heart, you are going to worship him. That there's going to be nothing else that comes between you and Jesus Christ. You're going to stay near the cross. That is the way you are going to live your life. And if you do not, he's going to say, cursed is that tree. And the Father, who is the gardener, will cut those branches off. This, ladies, is really where the rubber meets the road. This is what it comes down to. God is saying to every one of us, if you are going to follow me, you must take up your cross daily. And if I could tell you that the many blessings, I got to be done at 8:00, but I could go through Scripture and just show you this is just a wonderful opportunity that he gives us. This is not to be beating you down. This is not law. This is receiving grace. Yes. And when you recognize how much Jesus Christ has done for you and how much he loves you, it's a very easy thing to love him back. Mm-hmm. And where we get lost and caught up is that we forget how much he loves us. We lose it. We start looking at all our circumstances and we need to step back and say, wait a minute. In spite of all of this, he loves me. And because he loves me, he is for me. And because he is for me, nothing can come against me. There is no weapon formed against me that will prosper. Yes, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know what that verse is set in the middle of? It is set in the middle of describing the tremendous love of God. Right in Romans chapter 8, you go home and look it up tonight. Right, he's talking about how much God loves us. Says nothing can separate us from the love of God. And because of that, who can be against us? If God is for us and loves us that much, who can be against us? Nobody. But ladies, where we lose it is we forget how much God loves us. And he said, I love you so much that if I would give you my son, I will not withhold any good thing from you. Romans chapter 8, talking about how much God loves us. And then we get caught up in things going on around us. And all of a sudden, our fruit starts getting a little bit dried up. And pretty soon, we're just going through the motions. And we're just doing what we're supposed to do because we've always done it that way. And that's the way you do it. And we have lost our first love. Yes, he is saying, look, look, do not pretend. Do not pretend. Allow the love of God to saturate you. And when that love of God totally saturates you, and when you are full of the grace of God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to love Him with all your heart. That's why 1 John says, we love Him because He first loved us. That is how it happens. We receive His love and it's easy for it to go back. But it can't go back if we don't understand how much He loves us to begin with. Amen?
Amen.